Hello, everyone, and welcome to All About Brahma Kumaris. My name is Magla Pillay. I'm a judicial officer from South Africa. I have here in the studio with me today Sister Denise, who's been practicing Raj Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. She was, in fact, the first person to do so outside India. The Brahma Kumaris has been in existence for 77 years, and they're in 120 countries across the world. They are practicing Brahma Kumaris and Kumaris, and today we will be looking at the subject of women's rights. Thank you, Sister Denise, and welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Please define women's rights in spiritual terms. Actually, before you even get there, to introduce the topic, the Brahma Kumaris has a larger female population as opposed to a male population, and we will ask Sister Denise in a few moments why that is the case. And almost from its inception, the Brahma Kumaris promoted women's rights, but not in ordinary terms, but rather in spiritual terms. And we want to look at this subject and how the Brahma Kumaris as a community actively promotes women's rights and helps women to empower themselves and to see themselves as individuals as opposed to just part of a family or a community. And so I wish you a very warm welcome to today's program. And let's start off with the question is, how do you define women's rights in spiritual terms?
You know, when we look at ourselves as a soul, you see, a soul is genderless. So the body conscious view sees that you are a woman or you are a man. The soul is neither male nor female. So when you develop soul consciousness, you're also developing a genderless kind of mentality. And then from that point of light that you are, you come into your body and then you are an actor. So you have to play a role. So I think the important thing here is to decide, you know, who am I? Who do I belong to? And now what am I going to do? So these three little statements that Dadi Jenki, the current administrative head of Brahma Kumaris, very often mentions. Now in India, more so than in the Western world, your identity is a factor of who you belong to. So in the traditional world of India, a woman belongs first of all to her father, and then he gives her to another man who becomes her husband, and then when she gets old, she belongs to her son. So throughout the life of a woman, you are a piece of property owned by a man, and this is the tradition of India. And in the religious descriptions of this, a woman is described as a field that you plant seed in, and then the fruit grows, that's the children. And so because of that reason, sometimes the wedding gown is green to represent that she's a field. And then, you know, the fruitfulness of the issue, the children, that gives her her value, you see. And in the traditions, or traditional society, a greater importance is given to sons than daughters. And so if a woman bears a son, she'll be congratulated. If she bears a daughter, there'll be, you know, condolences. And so the bias against the woman in terms of she doesn't have value, she is a burden, all of this has contributed to a sense that the woman is inferior and doesn't have any rights but has plenty of duties. So spirituality, I think, really challenges that idea, because it says a soul, as it reincarnates, will take the same number of births in a female body as it does in a male body. So by that account, you really cannot say which one is what, you know, because a soul is really genderless. So you have to think about that. You could say, as part of the idea of reincarnation, that every woman was a man the last time, and every man is going to be a woman next time. So better think about how you behave, because, you know, it really challenges the idea that males have souls and females don't. That is also an idea that is, exists in the traditional community. Mm. Now, in the Western world, women's emancipation happened much more easily. In India, it's a good 150 years behind the Western world, and you can see there's this phenomenon going on at the present time of excessive violence against women. I believe the statistics now are a woman in India is violated every 3 minutes. So what is it in the society that really dislikes the female? I'm not sure what it is, because it's irrational. Everyone is born of a mother. Everyone likes their mothers and their sisters and their aunts and so on. But there's this other energy going on, which is to violate women, and rape is becoming a very recognized act of war in some of the wars that are going on at the moment. It's a very important component, and it really hurts a community. So spirituality says, you know, you are not less, you see, because what happens to women is this message goes in that, you know, you're not intelligent. But statistics show that women have greater academic capacity than men in many, many cases. The statistics in schools, it's the girls that do better than the boys. The girls will actually mature socially and emotionally quicker than the boys in most cases. And they're much better able to manage money than men. There's the beliefs, and then the realities really don't tally. So a lot of this is because of preconception, because of prejudice. And, you know, this comes through the traditional religions, through the ideas that the society runs on. And it has reached a point where, you know, female mutilation in large areas of Africa, it's women are saying, you know, I'm a human being, I have rights, I exist, I'm no less. So the woman is really going against all of this, a kind of tilt in the world that is towards the masculine, towards the external, towards the violent, and all of this. So I think in a way it's part of this kind of polarization that's happening. There's a friend of mine was saying, you know, there's a lot of world wars going on, the men against the women, the East against the West, the North against the South, the humans against the nature, the, you know, it's the different religions against each other, the rich against the poor. All of this is going on. It's a very, very conflicted world that we're in. And as you mentioned earlier, there are more women than men who come to Brahma Kumaris, because Brahma Kumaris is all about turning within. And it is about being quiet, it's about being contemplative, it's about creating atmosphere, it's about the hearth, the home, all of the things that women are biologically and traditionally very, very aligned with. And I think that's one of the reasons why women come.
On that note, mm-hmm. One of the criticisms against the Brahma Kumaris is that it's a feminist organization. What is your response to that?
Definitely, Brahma Baba, the founder, had said, you know, the sisters in front, the brothers behind. The sisters are given a lot of positions, administrative positions of power. There's a section in the constitution of the organization of Brahma Kumaris that says only a woman can be the head, no man can be the head. So in that sense, it is biased. But I think that it's a matter of recalibrating the equilibrium. The Brahma Kumaris is definitely not against men, but it is against the things that men do to women that are because of violence, because of domination, because of intimidation, and those type of things. It definitely doesn't go along with any of that. And I think that, yoga makes a person powerful. And so if a woman makes herself powerful with yoga and with spiritual knowledge and spiritual energy, that's very formidable.
Is that your answer to quite kind of answering my next question? Is across the globe, a very vast majority of women from various continents, third world and first world, feel extremely disenfranchised.
Yes.
And feel powerless and victimized and useless, and they feel as if they're nothing. How would spirituality help such a person?
You know, one of the things that happens, especially in the third world, women is kept within the four walls and isolated from other women. One of the interesting things about technology, internet, and so on is even from within your four walls, you have access to the whole world. And so this is going to open up your mind, and you just are able, okay, they say in some places, okay, women are not allowed to go to school. All right, so you play with your computer on the internet and you self-educate, so that you can get past some of these things. And women are realizing, excuse me, what you're telling me about me isn't really true. So they're not buying into it in the way that they had to before, because there was no other way. And there's so many institutes and NGOs and so on and so forth. In a way, the cat's out of the bag. You know, a woman is not less. And then it's really a matter of, okay, you have to know you have rights, but then you have to claim your rights.
How do you do that?
How do you claim your rights? Well, I think what we talk about a lot in Brahma Kumaris is you have to be in your self-honor. So if somebody treats you as if you are nothing and you become filled with shame, they can manipulate you easily. But if they don't buy it, they can't manipulate you. If you don't buy that message.
Does it not, though, take an exceptional woman to bring herself out of that victim mentality, victim lifestyle, to being spiritually empowered?
Well, perhaps initially it did take that, but what I'm seeing is as time goes by, more and more women are doing it, and it's in the air, so that you don't have to be that exceptional to come out of it. Initially, yes, in the early days, but I think that there's so many examples around, and this fact that it's in the air, that it's something different.
There comes Susanna Jacobs from Australia to the meditation center. She is a victim of domestic violence in an abusive marriage for the past 20 years. She comes to the Brahma Kumaris, teary-eyed, looking like a dish rag because she's feels useless inside, useless outside. How would you help such a person?
Well, such a person, like any person, will definitely be given exposure to the ideas and the meditation practices. And this works on a person slowly, you see. Mm. We also talk about spiritual powers, accumulating spiritual powers, powers of tolerance, power to face. You know, one of the problems in domestic violence and abusive marriage and so on, which is generally, especially in Australia, associated with alcohol use. Mm. And anybody who's aware of the Alcoholics Anonymous program will know that the woman is in that situation because she's an enabler. Mm. And so she will be taught how to not be an enabler. And as long as she doesn't facilitate the domestic violence, it's going to not be there. Mm. Because if you have a predator without a victim, there's not a problem. And so the victim is a victim because of, you know, thinking of being a victim and being trained to be a victim. Mm. But once the woman reassesses her identity, her sense of self and so on, she may decide, hey, you know, I don't have to do this anymore. And then she can behave differently. She doesn't need to try and control the predator, you see, because that's a sure sign of getting into a big mess if you try and control them. But just don't buy into it. And then there are many, many things that a person in an abusive relationship can learn so that they minimize their abusiveness, and they can decide at any point in time if they should leave it. And, you know, if it is an abusive relationship and they feel that the best thing is to no longer stay in it, then they have the right to come out of it.
Mm. What is the Brahma Kumari message for women specifically? Are they treated differently in this community as opposed to men?
Well, women in this community are, taught to come into their own power, definitely.
Mm, that's lovely.
And that's a good thing. And also, you know, there are many prejudices that exist that say, well, you know, mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws always fight. Well, that's because there's a setup, you see. And it's not mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws that always fight, but there's a setup that they're put in, which conspires to make that happen. But if you don't buy into that setup, you know, you can have a very nice relationship with your mother-in-law. And then that puts pay to these assumptions that are going on. We think of ourselves as, you know, I'm a child of God. I am not less than anybody else, you see.
That is very empowering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You would not think of yourself as less than any particular man, you know, or any particular woman. You know, we are brothers and sisters. And behind that, we are all souls, all genderless.
But Denise, being realistically and practically, if you're disempowered and fearful and been victimized almost your entire life, to come to that state of power and equality that you've just spoke about, it can't possibly be easy, can it?
Well,
it is a challenge. It's a lifelong journey, is it not?
I think it is. And I think that if a person's up for it, you know, they can do very well on it. I've seen so many people come through very difficult, disempowered states. And, you know, Brahma Kumaris is not like a 2 weeks course or a 1 month course or a 3 years course. It's a whole life. And so you gradually move yourself forward. Sometimes we call it a pilgrimage.
Okay.
And you arrive at your true self.
Mm. Let's look at it from another perspective. Here's somebody from the West who is the chief financial officer of her company. She's exceptionally successful and then realizes that her stress levels are going through the roof. So she now encounters heard of the Brahma Kumaris from a friend. The friend experienced some peace, the organization. She trots along to the the Brahma Kumari Center because she now wants to experience this peace. Can you have, as a woman from the West or even East, have a successful career and a successful family life and still be a Brahma Kumari?
I think that it would make your life very balanced, you know, because what Brahma Kumaris teaches you is how to resource yourself. And this is why the early morning meditation is very important, because during the day, if you've got a big career and a big family, that's going to take all your time and energy. But if you resource yourself on a daily basis, you can keep up with it. If you don't, it will take you down, you know.
Mm. And if someone's financially independent, what would her relationship be with this organization? Is that a good thing, to be financially successful? What is the Brahma Kumari view about ambition? I'm currently financial officer, but in a few years I definitely want to be a chief financial officer.
Well,
and I want to become the CEO of my company. Spirituality reconcilable with material ambition, whether you're female or not?
I think that your ambition to go up the ladder is not saying that you're greedy. It's saying that you believe in your competence and that you have a right to be suitably rewarded. And then that is very much compatible with your spirituality. Mm. It's not against it. You see, greed is not commanding a high salary. Greed is when you want something that you don't need. Or greed is when you take something just because it looks nice. Greed is a vice. That means that you are using things to compensate for your spiritual emptiness. That's greed. But when you're spiritually balanced and filled, then you will see, well, yes, I could do this. I could contribute in this way. I can do this. I can do this. I can command a high salary. I can handle a big place. And why not? You know, but it is that you're doing it because you're recognizing what you're capable of. And also, I think you're coming from an angle of contributing and of, looking at the welfare of a large organization. I mean, if you look at Dadi Jenki, who is the head of the Brahma Kumaris, her personal lifestyle is relatively simple. And she travels the globe, and she travels by air in, first or business class, because she's 98 and you need to be take her, very carefully. Nowadays, she's not traveling so much, but up until recently, a couple of times around the world a year, which takes a lot out of a person who's very elderly. But who could manage, it's an organization of close to 1 million people who meets people every day in large numbers, who gives classes, who does her emails and her BlackBerry and all of these things. So she is really keeping up with everything, but not because of greed, but from an attitude of service, you see. Mm. And the idea is not to make yourself have nothing, is not to make yourself impoverished. No, greed, ego, and all of these things, these are like masks that cover your weaknesses, and they are themselves weaknesses. But spirituality is you come into your power, and whatever you are able to do to fulfill your potential, that is good. Mm-hmm. And that's also an inspiration for other people. Look, I can do, you can also do. So spirituality gives a lot of opportunity to a person too. It takes you out of limited constraints, even at the level of ideas. Oh, well, I'm only a housewife, so what can I know? What can I do? No, not at all. Yes, you're a housewife. That's very good. And, you know, educate yourself, do service, so many things.
I once heard it said, the Brahma Kumaris is a community of uneducated housewives running the show. Is that true?
Well,
with the educated in the minority and the men, you know, disappearing into the background. Is that the case?
I don't think it's really like that. I think that there are many who are uneducated, but they're not incompetent.
Yes.
And they know very well how to organize, how to arrange, how to cook for huge numbers of people, how to handle transport and this and that. Things that, you know, you think that you would need a formal education for. Just because they're uneducated doesn't mean they're unintelligent. Dadi Janki herself only had, I think, about 3 or 4 years of schooling. But I haven't seen anybody quite as smart as her. Mm.
Thank you. Those are lovely words on which we end this segment. And I wish to thank Sister Denise for joining us on our program today, all about Brahma Kumaris and how the Brahma Kumaris actively supports women and specifically women's rights. There you go. If you need a spiritual message, if you feel that you need help, whatever your situation is, wherever you may be in the world, please go to Brahma Kumaris Center. And even if you can't, access it on the internet and learn to bring yourself out of whatever negative situation you may find yourself in. There is always somebody willing to help you. If not face to face, then certainly via your television or via the internet. We thank you for joining us today, and we will see you soon.